Good morning, everyone. It's really good to be with you this morning. For Sunday of the month, the men of this congregation, those who are willing, get up here and bring a lesson from God's Word and give the preacher a break, give us all a chance to keep our skills up. I don't know if it's really catching on with me just quite yet, so I'll let you be the judge on that one. But if you would take your songbook and turn to a song. A song is the source of this lesson this morning. And it's song number 711. Julie, without turning there, what is it?
I don't know.
Oh, I'm amazed. I thought you'd catch that one. There's only, what, 1,000 songs in here? Blessed be the tie that binds. So that's the basis of today's lesson. You look at that song and you go, wow, that's a pretty short song. It's a short lesson too. So let's read the song together and then we'll go verse by verse and talk about it. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent prayers. Our fears, our hopes, our aims are one. Our comforts and our cares. We share our mutual woes, our mutual burdens bear, and often for each other flows the sympathizing tear. When we asunder part, it gives us inward pain, but we shall still be joined in heart and hope to meet again. Powerful song, says a lot in 4 short verses. And it kind of goes along with what we talked about in our Bible class, talking about unity. As we're bound to each other, and we strive for that unity to be together in this congregation, and I think we do a pretty good job of that. We are together in a lot of common themes in our lives. We have a common goal. We face a lot of the same challenges. So we should have unity. We should think about that together, right? So hopefully this song will help us look at that tie that binds us together and help us. Romans chapter 12 is on the board for you. It's just 2 short verses out of that chapter. Verses 4 and 5 says, since we are one body, we have a special bond. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm going to read the verse a little bit later on. Read my comments and it doesn't sound right. Since we're that one body, this verse teaches us about us being that body. And then that equals us having a special bond together. And what that bond is made up of is what the lesson is going to help us quantify. This verse, if we read it together, it says, for as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. So it equates us being a church family as to our bodies. We all have hands and arms and legs, and they all have different functions. A leg can't be a hand, and a hand can't be a foot. So each part of our bodies is there for a purpose, and we use our bodies as we should. So too, everybody that makes up this church has different functions, contributes in a way that's very special. And I guarantee you, if you stub your big toe, you suddenly remember and you're very aware of how important that big toe is every step you take. It doesn't matter how small a part of that body you think you are. You're needed. You're wanted. Okay. So the tie we're talking about, the tie that binds us, it's not limited by distance or time or any other limitation. And let's go ahead and define what that tie is with verse 1. Verse 1 says, blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. So that tie is made up of what? Its foundation is love, right? Colossians 3 and verse 14, it says, and above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Powerful verse all by itself. And 1 John chapter 4, and Mark read that a little bit in his this Lord's Supper. I thought, okay, there goes one. Let's read verses 7 through 11 together. 1 John chapter 4. Because if we're looking for an example, or if we're looking for a pattern of what really love is or defined by, we can find that in what God is. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God has sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." If you look at 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16, Jesus helps us with the definition of love too. It says, "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers." Now let's go to the book of John, chapter 13. It marks us, right? It makes us who we are. If we do have this love, if that's what makes up who we are, then we're easily identified. We're known by what we're made of, right? Can't hide it for long. At least we shouldn't. As far as if we do love the way we should, then there's nothing to hide, right? But John chapter 13, let's look at verses 34 and 35 together. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Well, that's a pretty tall order. If we're going to love like Jesus did, we're going to have that selfless love for each other that identifies us, helps others to see Christ in us. Powerful? Makes a difference? Absolutely. So what is not the tie? What is not really, what doesn't defy that tie that binds us together? And if you look on the board there, it offers some things that are just strictly physical in nature. It's not bound by earthly ties. We're not talking about relationships with one another outside of this church family. We're talking about just us as love in a church family itself. It's not physical in nature. It's not socially based. It's not influenced by our differences. That's a big one, right? Isn't that a big one? That it's not influenced by our differences. It's there no matter what or how different we are from one another. Yeah? Okay. If you turn to John chapter 17, you'll see verses 20 and 23 that Jesus prayed for this unifying factor of love in our lives. He did. Jesus prayed for it. And so did Paul in Philippians chapter 2. And then again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 in verse 10, says, "You be united in the same mind and the same judgment." That unifying factor, which is love as its basis, is what we're supposed to have, right? So above and beyond that, this tie that binds us together is duplicated in the tie that God the Father and Jesus the Son have together. And there's complete agreement and complete unity there. And that's the perfect example that we can strive for where we talk about unity and togetherness, right? Okay, verse 2 of the song says, "Before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent prayers." So, is it a blessing to be able to approach God the Father and ask for things, ask for guidance, ask for help, and ask for strength and wisdom? That's a blessing that we have through Christ, right? Tremendous as it is. It doesn't have a limit. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16 says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Powerful verse. So, is there like a daily limit? God says, okay, you got your 5 prayers in, boom, done. Had enough, thanks anyway. Come back tomorrow. No. That's the beautiful thing about God. He doesn't put a limit on how often we can approach Him and ask for help or just to glorify Him. Right? So our constant prayers are welcomed by God. Philippians chapter 4. Let's turn there together. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Often think that I get tired to people complain. Anybody else have that problem? Yeah, it's easy, right? Can you imagine being God for just about a minute and hearing everybody's prayers coming at Him from all directions? And some of the smallest things that we bring to God are important to us, and they need to be brought to God. But can you imagine being in that person, being in that place to hear all those at once and need to deal with them? I can't. It'd be hard to imagine. But God encourages us, no matter how big or small we think our problem is, that we're to bring it to Him, right? Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let requests be made known to God." And the result is verse 7, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." There's a benefit to us. God is there to help. It also helps for us to just to verbalize, to say something about what we're going through, right? Better out than in, right? Get those problems out there in our minds, or speaking them through our minds, makes a difference, right? And God is there to make that difference even better by giving us the peace that we are looking for. So the second part of that verse, 2, says, "Our fears, our hopes, our aims are one, our comforts and our cares." So here's that part where we're in this together, right? We, as people, share some of the same trials and problems, right? We all do. We have similar concerns. We have similar desires in our lives. We're in that same boat, right? We want to be healthy. We don't want to be sick. We want to enjoy the comforts of life. We fear joblessness or poverty. So the big one that we look at in this vein, the big one that we share, is that we're fellow citizens of this spiritual kingdom, right? That's huge. We share in the hope of the resurrection, right? We share in the struggles that we have against temptations and persecutions, right? We can lean on each other. We share in our desire to go to heaven and be together for all time, right? Yeah? Okay. Verse 3, we share our mutual woes, our mutual burdens bear. So that means what? That we help each other. In the Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2 is a very short verse, and it's a very short instruction for us. Bear one another's burdens. That's putting your shoulder to work to help the burdens that someone else might have, physical or emotional or spiritual. We pitch in for each other and we try to help each other by working at it. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. James chapter 5 and verse 16. Another good verse for us to look at. It kind of lays us open a little bit, that we can be open and we can be honest with one another. We can. We're in the same boat. We can be open and honest with each other, tell each other where we need some help, right? James chapter 5 and verse 16 says, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And the rest of verse 3 of that song says, and often for each other flows the sympathizing tear. And if you turn to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 20, this is another unifying factor of being in this together, right? Whether we have good news or bad news, we have each other's backs. We are there for one another, right? Whether it's good news or bad, doesn't matter. So 1 Corinthians 12, 26 says, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. That's great. Got good news, let's share it. Let's rejoice together. Got bad news, share it. We can bear it together, right? Powerful? Yes. But that's what this family's about. It's our task here. Okay, we're already to verse 4. Four verses, right? It says, when we asunder part, it gives us inward pain. And so if you look at Acts chapter 20, we see an example of this. Paul is leaving this area, and he's told the church family that, you know what, I'm going to be imprisoned, I'm going to be tortured, and I won't get to see you again, right? That's tough news. Acts chapter 20 and verses 36 through 37, he says, and when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And there was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful, most of all because of the word he had spoken. They would not see his face again, and they accompanied him to the ship. Yeah. So the church felt bad about this news that he was giving them, and they wept over the bad news together with Paul. Yeah, okay. So the next part of this is, even though that we may be physically separated as this church was from Paul, we can draw some comfort by the fact that we're still in the same big boat together. We're still experiencing the same things, even though we may not be in the same city or the same state. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 5 says, for though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. So you hear from an old friend that's moved away, and you hear that he's doing good, and you pick up right where you left off, and you rejoice with him seeing that he's doing good, right? It's kind of what that verse teaches us. The last part of that verse says, but we shall be joined in heart and hope to meet again. And the verse there, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, is a good one to use. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. So give us some assurance. If God is keeping watch on this reward that he has reserved for us, who better to keep watch? If God's holding that reservation for us, you can rest assured it will be there. Right? All right. So it doesn't matter what physical boundaries are in our way, whether it's time or distance, we still have that hope together to meet again. Right? So the invitation is before us. It's up to us to put on that tie that binds us together. To surrender ourselves to be part of something, to be something beyond ourselves, right? No one is going to restrain you or drag you down to be baptized today. No one's going to make you join into the church family and be a part. No one's going to twist your arm. God has prescribed that we all have free will. We all have to make that choice to be bound together in love. So hopefully what we've talked about today, this is something that reaches you, that helps you. Hopefully it's something that makes you think about serving God more or at all, right? And hopefully that results in you believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that understanding where Jesus Christ is in the plan for your salvation, how he did come here, he did die for all of our sins, for all of mankind's sins, and being ready to confess him as your Savior. Doesn't matter how many people are present, you're ready to say, yeah, he's mine. He saved me. And to turn away from the sins and make a real change in our lives, to be the kind of person that God wants us to be, right? Then be baptized. Let's finish well together. Let's live faithfully together so that if we are separated by time, we know we're doing good. We're still doing good. Check up on each other and know that we're still doing good. Remaining faithful until death separates us from this world. So if we can help you with anything, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing this song.